And welcome to the Richard Rants Show. This is Richard Rants. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of us who are working to make this a better world, who are keeping engaged with what is going on in our world, who are aware that what happens in the political realm affects all of us, all of our lives from top to bottom, because we live in an environment that is determined by our political realities. Yes, what is going on in the political realm, but it can be local as well as national, international, it filters down. This is our reality. This is what we live in. And I'm going around here in San Francisco, which is a wonderful oasis of progressive thought and rationality, where people take seriously the scientific knowledge that can be procured through the processes and learning and sharing of documentation and studies that have been performed by scientists and professionals and medical experts and political experts in different realms to bring us the best information. And there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation to sort through, but it is sortable. So that is a regular theme of my show, how to sort through all the misinformation and the disinformation to come through with a rational and close as we can come to truth, which we know is ultimately at some level subjective, but there are levels of objective truth that we can dig down to. And that is the basis of how I wish to analyze what is going on in our world. And that is what I'd like to share with you. And I've been doing this for 15 years, but I was on public access television, and now I'm on my Facebook Live and working on trying to expand the listenership of my podcast, which is on several podcast platforms. And we're working on that, but I'm just going to plug away, and I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep talking about it. And those of you who wish to talk with me, I welcome that. This has always traditionally been a call-in show, but now that I'm sitting at home and not in the studio with Comcast cable going out to 100,000 listeners, I do get less calls. But if you would like to call into my show, please reach out to me at richardrants@yahoo.com or on my Facebook page, and let's arrange it. I do schedule people for call-ins, and I do have a call-in scheduled for the second half of my show today. The show is from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. every Wednesday. It used to be every other Wednesday, but now that I'm at home doing it, it's every Wednesday. So let's cut to more substantive talk. And of course, at the top of all of our news feeds right now is Democratic nominee Joe Biden selecting his vice presidential running mate, Kamala Harris, that we all know very well here in San Francisco because she was the San Francisco district attorney for a few years and then became the attorney general of California subsequent to that. And this does not necessarily endear us to her because, on the left, I should say, those of us who are very concerned with achieving reform in the areas of incarceration and in the areas of over-policing and unjust policing and more elsewhere in the country, we see police murders happening all the time, and there have been police murders in San Francisco as well, but less. Cops nowhere are free of this racist underpinning. in the United States. Nowhere. Not even in the most progressive city in the United States, which I have the great fortune of living in here in San Francisco. But they are better here than elsewhere. And we have elected now one of the most progressive district attorneys in the United States. There are only a handful that are as progressive or in that area who is determined to change our system, to reduce incarceration, has eliminated cash bail, is working to reduce the number of people incarcerated because we have and recognizes that we have an out of control prison industrial complex that makes money off of incarcerating people and is fighting against that. And that district attorney is Chesa Boudin, and he is not a prosecutor. How about that? The top prosecutor in San Francisco is not a prosecutor. He was a public defender. That is the side that I'm on. The side of the public defenders. And all the tough on crime people out there, yeah, sure. Let's be relatively tough on violent criminals. But let's make sure that there is restorative justice opportunity for the victims, because that's often forgotten by the tough on crime people. It's all about punishment. And let's take into account all the factors involved in the crime. It's not just a matter of lock them up, throw away the key. So I am proud to be in a city that has elected a public defender as our district attorney. The top prosecutor is a public defender. And if the San Francisco police are to step to the wrong side of the law and become overly brutal the way police are wont to do all throughout the country, we can be assured here in San Francisco that the cops will be prosecuted, because our top prosecutor is a district attorney who is well aware that the police are not on the side of social justice. And we know that the police are here to protect private property and the status quo. And they're not needed in situations where there is not a violent crime occurring, where people are having mental issues, psychiatric issues. The police do not have the training or the ability to parse the difference between a violent felon, violent criminal who is actually a danger to them, and someone who is having mental difficulties, psychiatric difficulties, who actually needs more of a gentle guidance. Because, yeah, the cops are always ready to just use whatever excuse they want to say, oh, my life was threatened, so let's shoot them. And there's story after story, and I don't need to go into it with you, about the cops are called because someone is having a mental breakdown, and they show up, and what happens? They shoot them dead. And there's some very, very unhappy stories about that, where the family comes out later and said, when they arrived, it was over. It was over already. And the cops came in and shot their son, daughter, grandson. Happened too many times. When we say defund the police, that's what we're talking about. The police should not be called in these moments. A person who is trained to deal with people who have psychiatric issues should be called in at that moment so that they can bring them down gently and they're not going to pull a gun on them. Trained to defuse the situation, not to end it with deadly force. Deadly force. Cops are always ready to resort to deadly force. Okay, not always. Not always. It should be a last resort. But too many of the cops out there don't recognize that. But anyway, just to get back to Kamala Harris, because we're talking about cops. So one of the big digs on her is top cop, top cop. Hear that all over and over again from people criticizing Kamala Harris. First of all, let's put this into perspective. She is the most progressive vice presidential candidate in history. I challenge anyone to tell me who was more progressive than that. Vice presidential nominee. I mean, if you want to point to some Green Party candidacy, yes, of course, but they were okay in a major party. Because my friend Matt Gonzalez here in San Francisco is a public defender, was actually a vice presidential candidate on the Green ticket with Ralph Nader. And that was a fantastic ticket, but they didn't have a chance of winning. And I'm one to not throw away my vote when we really need to defeat the fascist in power. And you know who I'm talking about right now. The fascist and the homophobe who is his vice presidential running mate, and now unfortunately our VP, with a horrible record. Horrible. And these are the ones that we need to get out. And we've got Kamala Harris, who people, and Joe Biden, and rightfully, there are things in their records that to be critical of. No question. Talk about the crime bill. Talk about, hey, Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. But people can change and people can move to the left, and they have. Both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have moved very far to the left of the positions that they are rightly criticized for having had in the past. So let's look at that. Let's look at the fact that they have been able to adjust their positions, to modify their positions, to become more progressive, more leftward leaning, more humanitarian. That is significant. That is not a flip-flop. That is a movement towards greater, more just positions on the matters of the day. I'd like to point out that whatever Kamala Harris's past statements, and people like to cherry-pick negative statements from their records to say, as if that's the only thing they said, that's the only thing they did. People are not always consistent. And let's look at the whole picture. Let's not take one quotation out of context from years ago and try to tar their entire image as they are now. All of us have made a misstatement now and again. All of us have said sometime in the past something that we regret now, something that maybe we thought when we said it and then realized better, because we're able to learn. Some of us are able to learn, unlike the current president, so-called president, not my president, who has been entirely unable to learn, who will never be able to learn, who knows only how to lie and be a narcissist. And a thirst for power, which is guided by narcissism and greed and fear, with no interest whatsoever in anyone else's well-being. That's definition of narcissism. So Kamala Harris, whatever positions or statements in the past, let's look at, and I'm referring to a Politico.com article called Where Kamala Harris Stands on the Biggest 2020 Issues, which was shared by one of my Facebook friends here. I won't name because maybe they don't want to be named. I don't know. Kamala Harris's current positions on important issues. Look it up. She wants to abolish the death penalty. And when she was Attorney General, she refused to use the death penalty on anyone. She wishes to reform and reduce cash bail, which is entirely disproportionately unjust towards people who are not wealthy. Cash bail causes a wealthy criminal, or I should say, we're all in theory assumed to be innocent until proven guilty, but somehow the justice system doesn't often work that way. But a wealthy person charged with a crime can put up the bail and spend their time awaiting their trial in the comfort of their own home. But a poor person who is accused of a crime and cannot come up with their bail is stuck in jail. That's why cash bail is unjust. And Kamala Harris is in favor of reforming and reducing cash bail, which is just a couple of steps, you know, short of where we're heading in this amazingly humanitarian and progressive city of San Francisco, which is to abolish cash bail entirely. And there is hope that we can still move Kamala Harris and even Joe Biden in the direction of abolishing cash bail. And she's already moving towards, that direction, because she's already put reforming and reducing cash bail as her current position. And the current position can move further to the left. And we have Bernie Sanders. We've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We have a fine group of extremely progressive voices in the Joe Biden camp right now, helping to move him and now his vice presidential pick. And thank goodness, listening to Michael Moore's podcast, the first thing he opened up on in his latest podcast, Rumble with Michael Moore, that you can look up in reaction to this selection of Kamala Harris, was thank goodness he didn't pick Susan Rice, because he could have picked Susan Rice, also a woman of color, who's to his right on the political spectrum and also does not have a lot of domestic experience, political experience. I mean, Kamala Harris is a proven strong campaigner, strong debater, extremely intelligent, a great speaker, a great person to have by your side on a political campaign, and she's to the left of Joe Biden, and she has moved progressively to her left throughout her career. Yeah, she would not be my pick. I would go a lot more progressive. I mean, I wouldn't be running. My pick would be Bernie Sanders for president. And sure, let's bring Elizabeth Warren, the other progressive, as his vice president. Or okay, you can make it the other way around, but Bernie Sanders has been steadfast throughout his entire career as entirely humanistic, humanitarian, fighting for civil rights since he was in college, at least, and probably before then. And Elizabeth Warren grew up as a Republican. I mean, I just got to go with the guy who has always been there, consistent, never waffled, never lied about what he was about, ever. But I respect Elizabeth Warren, and I would get behind her. Part of the problem, part of the reason, perhaps, as Sean King was talking about on the podcast interview, which is the before last one with Michael Moore on Rumble with Michael Moore. Sean King, who actually just tweeted and came out, and I hope to hear more from him about why he is now in support of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, and he's being ripped apart by the left, ripped from the left. And I'm saying, let's not. This is what we've got to work with, and they will work with us on the left. They will work with us. They will not, like this current fascist sending his Gestapo into Portland. That's how the Republicans, that's how Donald Trump reacts. That's how an authoritarian police state reacts to people to the left who are trying to campaign for civil rights and human rights. That's the reaction we're going to get from that side. So let's look at things in perspective. For those of us on the left who are attacking this Democratic ticket, let's get it in perspective, because that's what we have. That's what we have to work with. That's our hope for defeating this criminal authoritarian that is currently in office. This is the only viable opposition party that we have, and it's incredibly good. It's the best, most progressive platform of a major party ever, because they listened, because Bernie's Our Revolution movement has moved the entire Democratic Party to the left, and this is what we have now. And I wanted Bernie to be the presidential candidate, but that's not what was chosen. That's not what happened. That's not what the general electorate chose. Yes, Bernie won Nevada by a landslide. He was the first candidate ever to win the first three Democratic primaries. Yes, he should have been the Democratic nominee. But somehow, a lot of people in the middle of the country, certainly in South Carolina, but then again, as is discussed once again, I can refer you to Sean King talking about this situation in South Carolina, where that was the turning point, where Joe Biden came in and took the lead for the Democratic nomination on the heels of a very important recommendation from the leading black progressive congressperson in South Carolina, who had incredible weight and perhaps helped to swing that whole thing around. But then it was decided in South Carolina before it could even go to the northern states, before the black population, the people of color throughout the country could have their voices heard. This one southern state voted for Joe Biden, and that was pretty much sealed the deal. Then the rest of the Democratic Party leadership, the DNC, rallied. The other Democratic centrist or closer to center candidates dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden. And, you know, they came together to make sure the centrist candidate was the candidate. And, hey, I think that Bernie would have won the election as the candidate against Donald Trump. He would have been a fantastic candidate against Donald Trump. But a lot of people didn't think so. And a lot of these Democratic voters in South Carolina didn't think so. And perhaps a lot of other voters just weren't ready to believe that a radically, for this country, left-wing, verging on socialist candidate like Bernie Sanders could win the vote against Donald Trump. I think he could have, but a lot of people didn't. So what we've got is a closer to center ticket for the Democratic Party, but which is still more progressive than any other Democratic ticket in history and can be moved, unlike the Republican fascist Gestapo state criminals and the Republican Party of the rich and of privilege and of tax cuts and of denying people human rights and civil rights. They cannot be moved. Yeah, the great civil rights anthem, "We Cannot Be Moved," is a key one, is an important one. And unfortunately, it's the right wing that cannot be moved, but they can be defeated. And that is what we need to do. We've got to defeat them. So let's do that. And let's get out there and vote for this incredibly progressive ticket that we have in Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. I am actually, the more I talk about it, the more excited I get, because there are valid criticisms about both of their past statements and positions, but that's not where they are now. I'm looking at where they are now. That's important. And they've moved consistently to the left. So that is something that inspires me at this point. To come back to Kamala Harris's campaign positions now. Okay, she had a relatively hard stance on drugs, although There's a very important piece that I posted in the Richard Rants Show Facebook group, and I would encourage anyone of you listening to this to join the Richard Rants Show Facebook group, where we can discuss these items on the show. It's a public group, so I will kick out any bots and trolls that join, but I welcome anyone who has a humanitarian outlook. This is by a public defender in USA Today, public defender Nikki Solis. Headline, I worked with Kamala Harris. She was the most progressive DA in California. And this is written by a public defender who worked basically, you know, a public defender opposed the district attorney. The district attorney was the prosecutor, and the public defenders are the defenders. And she mentions that Harris refused to seek the death penalty. Marijuana sales cases were routinely reduced to misdemeanors. Marijuana possession cases were not even on the docket. They were not charged. And that is a proud tradition here in San Francisco. And a few years ago, before legalization, marijuana was made to be at the, literally at the bottom of the police priority list, basically not to be followed up on, which is great. And Kamala Harris was a little bit ahead of the curve on that. She founded the Coalition to End the Exploitation of Kids. She spearheaded a task force combating the human trafficking of girls. She formalized a court for young adults. That resulted in them avoiding conviction and getting a second chance. She stopped prosecuting young girls for prostitution, acknowledging that they were victims that needed treatment for trauma and not criminals who needed to be incarcerated. So, yeah, she was a prosecutor. And there are, I'm not fond of prosecutors either. But as far as prosecutors go, as far as district attorneys go, she was one of the most progressive in the country. She is in favor of eliminating mandatory minimum sentences. And that is an important, very important factor. And I am coming to the end of the current half of the show, and we will continue in the second half, but I'm going to play the music to end the first half of the show, and let's do that.